Thanks for listening to this podcast of APA Compass, the Pacific Northwest's only Asian Pacific American public affairs radio show. Our collective focuses on issues relevant to APA communities and features an angry APA minute where listeners like you can sound off. We promote social justice, feature APA arts and culture, and challenge how APAs are represented in the media. If you have a story idea or would like to contribute, leave us a message on our Facebook page, APA Compass Radio. APA Compass airs at 9 a.m. on the first Friday of each month on Portland's KBOO 90.7 FM and at www.kboo.fm. Or you can download podcasts of our program at kboo.fm/APACOMPASS. That's kboo.fm/APACompass. Thanks again for listening.
Good morning, and thanks for listening to APA Compass. I'm Sarika Mehta. Back in June, the Pew Research Center released a statement that Asian Americans, quote, have overtaken Hispanics as the largest group of new immigrants arriving each year in the United States. The report received a negative response for not only presenting Asian Americans as a monolithic group, but also for perpetuating many stereotypes of the model minority myth. Recently, Karthik Ramakrishnan published an essay in Hyphen magazine addressing these concerns and calling for a reframing of the study. Karthik is a professor of political science at the University of California at Riverside and recently served as a fellow at the Wilson Center in Washington, D.C. His research focuses on civic participation, immigration policy, and the politics of race, ethnicity, and immigration in the United States. Karthik served as one of the advisors for the Pew Research Center's report. Before this interview, he offered some insight as to what might have gone wrong with the press release and report.
I would say about 3 weeks prior, or maybe a month prior to the report, we saw a draft of it. When we heard about some of their narrative plans, that's when a lot of us pushed back, because it did seem very much in a model minority mold. So many of us thought that we had contained the damage of those kinds of narratives. And when we saw the report later on, we saw elements of that creeping back in. And so I wrote a lengthy set of responses and saying that it was portraying the community in a relatively monolithic way, that it was not disaggregating enough, and that it wasn't highlighting enough of those variations on education and poverty especially. So that was the second time we had told them that they shouldn't portray this relatively uniform picture of the community. And the response we got was, we didn't really get a response. It was just, thank you for your feedback. We also were not really made aware of what the process for crafting a press release was. We were not asked to give any input on a press release, and we only saw the press release as it was released to the public. But all that said, the advisors were not, we clearly were not driving the bus, but it's not clear to what extent our comment, if we had opposed it, would have been incorporated.
We began our discussion on the positive remarks from the study.
Typically, when we think of the immigrant population in the United States, we have survey data which shows that most people think of Latino immigrants and especially Mexican immigrants when you show the word immigrant to them. But if you look at which racial group in the United States is the most heavily foreign-born, it's Asian Americans, and it's not even close. You have over 2/3 of Asian Americans who are immigrants, and that number goes up even more if you look at adults in the United States. Whereas for Latinos, it's below 50%. So that was an important piece of information. They had other information that they referred to from other studies, which they also found, which is that long-term unemployment was higher among Asian Americans than others. And then they had a trove of data analyzing Census Bureau data, either the 2010 census or the American Community Survey, which showed that Asian Americans in general were doing relatively well off in terms of their educational attainment, in terms of their poverty rates, and the like.
Interestingly, this study included social trends and questions based on so-called tiger parenting, as inspired by the Amy Chua book, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother. While I was concerned that the questions alone led to stereotypical responses, Karthik offered a different perspective on the issue.
So the fact that they included those questions in a survey is not in and of itself concerning, but one must take great care in terms of what one does with the results once you see what they are. First of all, you need to think, is this truly reflecting what we're trying to measure? Is there any social science underpinning the ways that we ask this question and whether we can make comparisons across groups? After answering those questions, then figuring out how one should frame the research accordingly. And it doesn't seem that was done in this instance. I mean, in this instance, the questions seemed experimental. Some of the questions about parenting and their opinions about the hardworking habits of Americans, as far as I know, those were new and have the potential to be divisive. I don't know if they thought carefully about that or not.
Finally, the crux of the issue is the importance of disaggregating data. Inevitably, when discussing racial minorities, Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are pooled as one monolithic group. Karthik explained the complications of developing such studies, as well as the dangers of not doing so.
One thing I should mention when we talk about disaggregating data is to show an example of a report that did this quite well. And this was the report that was published by the Asian American Justice Center in conjunction with the Asian Pacific American Legal Center. And if you look at that report, it presents in very easy to understand terms. They use a lot of graphs. There's not that much text. But they present the primary reasons why one should not lump all Asians together. So if you look at their data on educational attainment, you see that the average Asian American does have higher rates of college completion than the U.S. population. But there are several groups, including Southeast Asian groups like Vietnamese, Hmong, Cambodian, and Laotians, that have much lower rates of high school graduation and college completion. And similarly, if you look at poverty rates, you see that many of these groups, many of these Southeast Asian groups, but also Pacific Islander groups, have much higher rates of poverty than the national average. So if you just looked at the average for Asian Americans, you would not see that other side of that story. These groups are smaller, so the groups that are doing relatively well off, such as Indian Americans, Chinese Americans, Korean Americans, etc., are larger than some of these Southeast Asian groups. But it's important to note that even within these groups who have, on average, higher levels of attainment, you will have elements within that community that are not doing well. And it's hard to convey that if you're just pointing out averages. It's important to look at distributions throughout the population. When you have access to data, in this case government data, which can show you these differences across groups, one should provide that full complexity. When it comes to doing telephone surveys, it's a different matter because you don't have many firms that can conduct surveys beyond some of the more frequently used languages in the United States. On top of that, it becomes expensive to produce reliable samples of each of these smaller groups. What we have found is that in trying to survey Asian Americans in language or Pacific Islanders, the cost of doing a survey can be twice or three times as high as it is for the general population. So in many ways, I think it's more understandable when you're talking about original data collection in telephone surveys to have limitations on the number of groups that you can cover. But when it comes to demographic analysis, especially since the U.S. government has already collected a lot of this data, researchers should disaggregate whenever possible.
In fact, the National Asian American Survey of 2008 was the first of its kind to investigate issues of civic engagement and political participation in the AAPI community. They are currently developing another report to provide an in-depth look at where Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders stand on a variety of important public policy issues.
I'm directing the 2012 National Asian American Survey, and this time we have also received funding to conduct a survey of Pacific Islanders. So I'm very happy about that. It's a remarkably different role going from directing a study or being a principal investigator on a study, as I was in 2008, to being one of 15 advisors, as I was in the case of the Pew report. And even in the case of the Pew report, as I've mentioned before, being an advisor can mean different things, and it wasn't fully clear for many of us when we entered as advisors how much influence and power we would have over the final product. I've been involved as reviewer on reports in the past where comments that we have made a big impact in terms of whether the study gets released at all, whether it gets revised in a substantial manner, and how it gets communicated. I would say that our role in the case of the Pew report was much more diminished than that. Now, when it comes to conducting our own research, it's been pretty exciting. What we're doing this time in 2012 that is different from 2008 is that we are focusing a lot more on issues that might affect the Asian American community and issues that are typically not polled with respect to the Asian American community, but they are with respect to the general population. So we have questions that dive deeply into those relating to access to abortion and contraception. We have a set of questions asking various opinions about lesbian, gays, and bisexuals. We also have questions on tax policy and spending policy. So we're covering a lot more issues now than we did in 2008. In formulating these questions, we also sought the advice of a lot of different community organizations and research organizations, and that was helpful. So I feel very good about the survey that we're conducting right now. Interviews are happening as we speak, and we'll have a set of results that we'll be releasing in late September in Washington, D.C.
Amidst these problems, Karthik ended his op-ed in Hyphen magazine by saying he is hopeful.
I'm hopeful that the Pew Research Center will engage in a more constructive manner with researchers and community organizations. If Pew does not do that, they will continue to face a barrage of criticism from various quarters. I mean, that's something that we saw this time. From what I've seen in Pew's reactions to these different critiques is that I'm not fully sure that they get the message, or at least certain aspects of Pew's senior leadership gets the message. But that institution is undergoing some transition as well. So I'm hopeful that when there's new leadership there, that they will think strategically and critically about the work that they do. Now, I'm an optimist. That's a big part of the reason why I'm hopeful. But one of the aspects of Pew that gives me pause, they see themselves as a fact tank, and they view their work as simply presenting the facts. And I think on this question, I think most reasonable people would argue that facts don't speak for themselves. But I do think that moving forward, one of the, I guess, positive things that has come out of this is that I think journalists will be more critical in terms of information that they receive from any type of research organization. And they will also be more aware of research that is being done by other groups. And I'm hoping that moving forward, when other organizations put out research, that they get at least some meaningful fraction of the news coverage that Pew was able to receive.
Thank you so much for chatting with me and giving us your insight here on APA Compass.
Sure, thank you for having me.
I spoke with Karthik Ramakrishnan about the complexities of using demographic data to describe our community in an effective and appropriate way. Karthik is a political science scholar at the University of California at Riverside and director of the National Asian American Survey. You can learn more about the survey at naasurvey.com. And the 2012 report comes out later this month on September 25th. I'm Sarika Mehta, and you're listening to APA Compass on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland.